Time is relative, and I know that because my watch tells me that I was only waiting to see if Mulder and Scully kissed for about 20 seconds, but I know it lasted 6 hours. In The X-Files, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
I'm having a flashback. As soon as I wrote that, but as soon as I said it out loud, it came back to me being in the theater and hearing
everybody leaning forward.
Yeah.
People were screaming.
Oh, really?
People were like, go do it!
Oh,
like,
man, that must have been so annoying.
I was kind of there with them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. I feel like it's as I liken it to Stabler and Benson.
Yeah.
Is which while we're here, is that just what happens with them? Do they ever do it?
Yeah. They have a child together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But much later.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
More on the movie experience later, because now I remember a lot of it. The important thing is, my name's Sean Collier. Here's two people that don't know what a Wicked is. It's Robin Hitchcock.
What? Oh, How to Succeed in Business Without
Really Wickets.
Trailing. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Camilla Adams.
Failing upwards.
yeah, all of those words that Robin said, and I'm sick of saying. 62 and a third for that movie. Same as Taken and A Christmas Story. The link is movies with where someone has a particular set of skills. How to Succeed is obvious. Taken is obvious. Christmas Story, it's writing a theme.
Mm-hmm. Is that the longest title movie that we've done?
Probably. How many words are in The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2? Less than that.
Less than that. And also, I don't even really count that as one full title.
It's certainly the longest phrase.
Yes.
You know, you can get there if you have a lot of subtitles and numbers, and you don't need to watch that movie, but please listen to our episode if you didn't. It was fun. It's mostly the Michael episode.
Yeah.
And in fact, I almost want to count Michael as covered.
Yeah, no, right? Michael's, we're
like,
good.
Yeah, we got it, yeah.
Yeah.
If it shows up again, like, if it's, I mean, it's on our list, I'm assuming. If we end
oh, yeah,
up,
oh,
we
yeah,
end
it's on the list.
Getting it, it's like, yeah, we've, we'll done, just be like, we've done it. Please review
please
episode
see.
207.
What score out of 100 do you give Michael? Very hard.
80.
80? I would go 73.
I'm going to say 50 derogatory.
Derogatory.
73 plus 50. 67 and two thirds. It's off the list. There
Yay!
We go.
Right, done.
All right. We could be here all day and into tomorrow because I think what I found is I have a lot of feelings about the X-Files. Robin did a whole research project.
Yeah, which I will post that online somewhere because that is not for naught.
Listen, I started out watching the X-Files just last Sunday. I should have been doing it from the minute we finished recording, mm-hmm. but I kind of had other things going on. And then I, you know, had a lazy Sunday ahead of me and I was like, oh, I could watch the X-Files all day long. And I did. And I felt a way like my youth was re-explored. I don't kept watching episodes and I was like, this one gave me nightmares. Do you know
how long ago had it been since you revisited them?
God, since before COVID.
Yeah. I did a lot of them. Maybe the early 10s. I dove back in for a while.
Well, but because they had a new series.
It wasn't related to that. I think I had always been looking for it. I never got the right DVD thing. Mm-hmm. It was hard for a while. You kept getting region 2 DVDs if you tried to.
Oh, really?
Like, it was hard to access the X-Files for a while. It whatever clicked, it was on Hulu or whatever, and I dove in for a while, and then the new seasons. But it had been more than 10 years.
This is editor Robin saying that Camila's neighbor is my enemy. They are doing some very important landscaping that may or may not be fucking up this record.
Or are they working for the syndicate too?
That's not a lawnmower, it's bees!
We're hinting around it. Robin, give the briefest overview of your relationship with the X-Files.
That is the first grown-up TV show that I was a fan of. Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I watched Cheers, but, yeah. like, I feel like the X-Files is really a little bit more grown-up than Cheers. Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Because I watched Cheers, too, but yeah. I did not watch the X-Files.
But this was the first show that I remember, like, caring every week, like, there's a new episode, and, you know, or when it was a rerun, being upset. becoming like genuinely invested in the overall story and the characters. This was it for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it felt at once a little transgressive, but nerdy.
Yeah.
In a way that was so satisfying to me as a kid, where I didn't feel like I was doing something uncool because mm-hmm. it was kind of violent and kind of weird and spooky, to use the word of the day. And, and, you know, I still felt like this was a cool thing to be into. But what I forgot when I watched a few episodes in the movie is they're doing real science in there all the time.
Yeah.
And they're using big science words. So it felt smart and cool at the same time. And so few things ever do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really into it when I was a kid. Just thinking about it all the time. I feel like I thought about the X-Files even more than I watched the X-Files.
Sure.
You know, and have dabbled in it ever since.
Part of that, I think, though, is the nightmare fuel factor of it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I would think about it when I didn't want to.
Right.
I would think of, like, oh my, what if I get trapped in a bunker with these people and then mm-hmm. there's a little worm that goes inside of our brains? What, you know?
Right, right. Camila?
Yeah.
You're new here?
Yeah. Did not watch it when it aired. Looks like it started in 93. That was, yeah, it just didn't strike me. And, like, my mom didn't watch it, so it wasn't, like, even there. Mm-hmm.
Right.
In the periphery. So it just didn't interest me at all. And then, like, maybe a couple years ago, I watched a couple episodes here and there. And then when I found out we were doing this movie, I, you know, tried to watch as many as I could. That failed. I think I got through one season. And then I do remember at one point, and I found out, like, when it aired, it was, like, in 1996. And for whatever reason, I turned on an episode of X-Files. I was probably bored, mm-hmm. probably waiting for whatever comes on after it mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. But I did not catch the full episode. And until 2 hours ago, I couldn't remember what that episode was.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was the one you bitches told me to watch.
Home?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Popped in on Home?
Yes.
Okay.
And, like, the only thing that I remembered from that episode was something really scary on a quote unquote skateboard type thing. That's what is what
not
I remember.
A skateboard.
Wow.
Yes, not a skateboard.
That's where she lived.
That's all I remembered
wow.
from that. And I remember turning it off immediately
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
it was too much for me at the time. And so you guys are telling me, you know, told me to watch this because, you know, it was, like, a big deal, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. folks banning it and people not wanting to watch.
Yeah, I guess, like, certain affiliates wouldn't show
rerun it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they wouldn't put it in reruns yeah. or whatever. And so I decided to watch it because of, you know, all the controversy, see what it was all about. And it wasn't until that moment I was like, oh my God. And
incredible.
Then, and I just texted y'all that I felt unwell. And it's very disturbing and unsettling.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it on the microphone. It's unsettling and disturbing repeatedly
yeah.
in different ways.
Right.
Because in the middle of that, the fate of the cop and his wife
mm-hmm.
is as brutal and disturbing as anything,
yes.
which is saying something given the subject matter of this episode. Like the Fox Network, we're telling you, maybe don't watch this one.
But it's crazy.
But if you do, it's pretty good.
Because it's like you get to that point, it's like, oh my God, and your whole brain explodes. Mm-hmm. And then she starts talking mm-hmm. to them, and then your brain melts.
Right. Yeah.
And so you're like, Jesus, God, this is... Woof.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm not exactly opposed to the X-Files. I guess there was just nothing that really caught on to me. And maybe mm. I'll finish watching through. I don't know.
Yeah. Sure. Well, this is the thing. We talk about how much we love the show and our little brains being formed by it. I never mm-hmm. finished it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean was saying that he doesn't know anybody in real life that has, like, watched all the episodes.
Yeah.
Vitally, Mulder leaves eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like,
not even eventually. Like, he leaves.
It's pretty early.
Pretty early on. He comes back at some point, but then he leaves again.
That's wild.
Yeah.
David Duchovny really wanted to be a movie star.
Yeah.
And didn't want to keep doing this
Okay.
For a decade of his life.
It's crazy. I mean, to me, and it's funny because it's like X-Files walked so Buffy and Supernatural could run. Like, I'm like really into those two, but like X-Files is just not.
Part of the reason that I loved Supernatural was because I was like, oh, monsters in Vancouver. This feels like home to me.
I mean, also X-Files walked so Breaking Bad could run. That's the other thing.
Right.
Because Vince Gilligan started on X-Files, and there's a pretty deep season episode with Bryan Cranston.
I think it's season 6.
Huh.
Yeah.
A great episode.
His brain's going to explode.
He's basically speed as a human.
Yeah. Like if something goes wrong, his brain will explode. And he's great. And that's Vince Gilligan was like, yeah, the dad from Malcolm in the Middle can do serious stuff. I directed him in this one X-Files episode. Wow. So,
and boy, was he right.
It's interesting to see that evolving tone. Cause I, this time around watching a few episodes, I was identifying like, obviously, Twin Peaks is a giant influence on X-Files, but also having just spent a lot of time with Candyman, speaking of bees, like the way that the score worked and the way that the shots are composed, there's a lot of like late 80s, early 90s horror influencing the X-Files. This is just in the pipeline of everything I love.
Yeah.
This is right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And the movie is good. Like I do really
like it.
You know, yeah, spoiler, I enjoyed it. And
good.
Especially, and it says a lot for me to only have like very minimal knowledge of the mythology and, you know, and the whole timeline and everything in this world. So I'm like a newcomer coming in, but I was still able to follow it along very well. I think there's only like a couple of moments where I know from the lighting and the shot that this person, this character is important. And if I were a hardcore fan, I'd be like, holy shit, you know, when they show up in the movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, just didn't get that. But that those little like special moments for the actual fans were not lost on me. And it did not, you know, hinder my understanding or enjoyment of this movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, they definitely do that thing where it's like, da da da!
Right,
it's well manicured man.
Right, yeah, and those the lone gunman.
Yeah,
okay. So like I know enough in the periphery.
Yeah,
I'm right. Like adjacent to know like okay who these guys are.
Oh, these why. Must be those lone gunmen.
Right,
I've heard
and
about.
Why like Mulder's like ugh. So, yeah.
That is a great scene. I do like it. I think that the movie echoes the frustration that I grew to have with the show. Which is frequently, we start out with a really tantalizing mystery, and somehow that ends with, we have to save Scully. Like,
we don't
get closer and closer to the truth. Mm. Something goes wrong on our pursuit of the truth, and now we're just focusing on that problem, which often is saving Scully.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And that's, so narratively, it leaves me a little cold, but I really liked revisiting it. That's probably the first, hey, we have segments. If you haven't fought the future, which, by the way, is a retcon title. The name of this movie is not X-Files Fight the Future. It is listed as that in a lot of places. Mm. The name of this movie is The X-Files. Fight the Future was the tagline on the poster. Fans started saying it. If you have not seen The X-Files.
Hard stop.
In 28 or so years, we went, coincidentally, with the most qualified host. Here's Robin to tell you what happens.
I'm trying to find my reading glasses. Hang on.
So funny.
I got asked if I would like the senior discount this week. So, first time.
Sir.
First time. Yep.
Who?
Yes. Woman at Walgreens. She said she just asks based on hair.
That's rude.
Okay. I had enough else going on that it would. I was kind of just like, huh, well, had to be a first time. Got that out of the way. All right.
Oh, I'm leaving that in if that's okay.
That's fine.
Yes. All right.
God. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I don't even think I don't even know if I finished setting it up. Here's Robin Hitchcock with a recap of this film.
In North Texas, 37,000 years ago, some proto-humans got their shit rocked by an alien in a hole. In the present, some little shit falls in the same hole and gets alien black eyes. Mulder and Scully are doing regular old FBI stuff in Dallas. Mulder figures out the bomb they're looking for is in the wrong building, just in time for the explosives guy to calmly watch it detonate. Martin Landau tells Mulder the bomb was to cover up the outbreak of the alien virus, but the bomb wasn't big enough because the bodies are still there, just very squishy. While in Texas, Mulder and Scully also find mysterious cornfields and ominous apiaries guarded by black helicopters, but they get home safely to Washington, D.C. Scully's reassigned to Salt Lake City with plans to quit. Mulder says he can't do this without her. They're about to kiss! Mm-hmm. And then Scully gets stung by a bee.
Aww.
That's just been chilling in her vest for like a whole day. Anyway, she goes into shock despite having no prior allergy. Mulder's like, hey, what hospital are you going to? And they shoot him in the face? Mulder wakes up to a quick visit from the lone gunman in Skinner. He escapes the hospital while manicured man gives him the vaccine and tells him where Scully is. She's in Antarctica. He goes to rescue her. During that rescue, Cigarette Smoking Man blows a hole in the earth, but Mulder and Scully survive and I guess find their way home because Scully could stay in DC working on the reopened X-Files. Season 6, Fox Sundays.
Nice. That was like just exactly.
Beautiful.
Like 60 seconds.
It felt right on. I'm glad to get the confirmation. Before I get into the facts, this was my biggest question, and maybe you don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Are the things revealed in this movie the actual things?
I don't think so,
or
no.
Did they...
They shook it up again?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm pretty sure they have a new master plan
mm-hmm.
beyond this one.
So the syndicate was not just the people who are preparing Earth for an alien colonization and are going to vaccinate themselves and their loved ones.
That is who we are meant to believe they are by the end of this movie.
But later they're something else.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
But I can't tell you confidently.
It felt like this felt more conclusive than I remembered.
Yes. Agreed. It's not like
yeah.
the mythology sprawled on.
Yeah, like at the did you watch either of the new seasons? I watched one.
You know
of
what?
The new
I
seasons.
Think I watched the first new season and it wasn't good enough to keep watching.
We'll get back to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's not important. We're going to talk about the film.
The X-Files was released June 17th of 1998, the ninth number one of that year. Why only ninth?
What year? 98?
Mm-hmm.
Titanic.
Titanic was most of the year, and then we finally got back to different movies around the summer. $30.1 million that first weekend. Defeating, by the way, the debuting Mulan. Mulan, huh. Not a number one movie in America. Really? Lost its opening frame.
Let's get down to business.
To the X-Files. Box Office Mojo says box office was depressed that weekend because it was the World Cup. I don't think that applied to America in 1998.
No.
Certainly not American X-Files fans.
Right.
No. Closest we got was Ricky Martin's song.
Yeah, that was the one with the... Okay, we were in the... We played the song a little
right,
bit.
Right, yeah.
1 week, number one movie in America. Big drop. This was definitely a all the fans came out. The first week situation, big drop of 56% or more. The third to third the following week. So week two went the debuting Dr. Doolittle in first. Mm. Then Mulan. It fell back below Mulan. Then X-Files. 4 weeks in the top 10, still made $83.8 million, 23rd place for 1998. That's perfectly respectable
yeah.
in
yeah.
a big movie year. There was a movie sequel, kinda, X-Files I Want to Believe, in 2008. That bombed. That debuted in fourth place. It only made $20.9 million.
Wow.
Partially because there has not been a moment in the past 33 years where people cared less about the X-Files than 2008.
Yeah.
That was like the absolute nadir of interest in this franchise. More relevant, that's week two of The Dark Knight.
Okay.
So in a similar demographic.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone was still seeing The Dark Knight. It went Dark Knight, Step Brothers was debuting in second, Mamma Mia was in third.
Oh, yeah.
X-Files, I want to believe, was in fourth.
It was really no place for X-Files.
I saw it. Yeah.
They're married, or they're at least living together.
Yes, correct.
And that hadn't been the case the last time we saw them?
No, yes. It was like a reveal.
Right. that would have, all of those nerds who were yelling in the theater in 1998 would have blown their minds. None of them were
so
there.
Like,
we had all moved on.
I assume this is coming in the facts, but there is a version where they make out.
Is there? No, I don't have this movie.
All right. Should I talk about it now?
Please.
Because we bought this, the two movie bundle was $8 to buy it. So I was like, take my money.
Yeah.
And then, so there's extras and it says alternate take, beasting scene. And I'm like, did they really? Mm-hmm. And I felt alive like I haven't since 1998 because it was like, it could go differently this time. And it did. They make out and he picks her up.
Shut
oh my
up.
God.
I know.
See, we couldn't have taken it. A bunch of 14-year-old virgins watching that in the theater wouldn't
out.
Have worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Far too much.
And I never even really cared about Mulder and Scully being in love. Like, I didn't deny that they were.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But I was like, I don't really think that's what the show should be about.
Right.
I don't know if I want to go to therapy today or not, but it's, I'm watching it this time and I'm like, I'm constantly in one-on-one situations with women about my age or a little younger than me that I'm very close with and I don't actually get together with. Like I started a theater company with a Scully. Yeah. And I'm watching and I'm like, was this way more formative for me than I thought?
Maybe.
Like, have I been chasing the early part? I don't like them together. I don't like them together. I like a little bit of like, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
We could if we wanted to.
Right.
But I don't like them together. Have I been chasing the Mulder Scully seasons 3 through 5 relationship my entire life?
I agree. I think what you're saying, it's nice to see platonic friendships because those exist in the real world.
Yes.
And aren't explored enough on television. I rewatching these episodes recently, I'm like, it's sad that their entire lives revolve around each other and they don't even get to fuck about it. And so I feel very differently now. I'm like, yeah, they should fuck about it.
They should fuck about it.
I don't know. I think it's like that Friends subplot where as soon as they start actually having sex, they can't act together anymore.
Right.
Like I think the distance is part of the chemistry. And go ahead.
It could just muck up. It mucks up too much, I think, in a lot of, and I don't know. Like, Mulder and Scully, I think they probably should not have put them together in the end.
I guess that they only did, like, secretly, right?
Okay.
Like, she has the kid, and it's like, you don't know it's Mulder's.
Oh.
Yeah. But you, like, know it's Mulder's.
Interesting.
Until this other movie comes out 10 years later.
Interesting.
And then it's, I guess, part of the story when the later seasons
happen.
I kind of like that angle.
Honestly, it's a tricky move.
Because it's also pretty helpful. It works well with the storytelling because then it's not about them being together.
Right.
Now we're still on the spooky and the unknown and stuff, but it's not like, oh my God, like they're fighting because he forgot to take the trash out. It's like, you know.
Because we don't want to watch that.
Right.
We don't.
Right. We're not here for the domestic so-and-so, whatever. We're here for the spooky aliens. So, I don't know.
But when he tells her how much he needs her.
Yeah.
It's played very well.
That's cool.
I love the wink, wink.
Yes.
We could if we wanted to. The I need you, you're my everything, blah, da, da, da.
That face that she makes when she's like, oh, this might really be ending. And she's like kind of smiling and kind of like she's crying.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I feel your feelings right now. She's good at acting.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm on like 0.3. I don't have that many. The original series ran for 9 seasons from September of 1993 through May of 2002. 2 further seasons aired in 2016 and 2018. Ryan Coogler is producing a reboot. We're not at the it's definitely happening stage yet. Hulu has ordered a pilot order that really feels like it'll happen because...
And wait, isn't there some really cool actor attached?
Danielle Deadwater.
There we go. Yeah. Really cool actor attached.
Right?
As well as Himesh Patel. It feels like it's going to happen because what the hell else does Hulu have to do?
Yeah, like why not?
Yeah. Ryan Coogler is doing it because his mother loved the show.
Oh my goodness.
Stop it, Ryan. It's just
so sweet.
I can't even with this guy.
He's trying to give his mother more episodes of the X-Files.
Mama, don't worry. I got it. I got you.
The movie occurs both in world and in release between seasons 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So season finale, season 5, movie, season premiere, yeah, season 6.
The audacity. Like, are they is this the first series to do that? To not a prequel that's, yeah, you know, and not, right, you know, the series is over and we're going to give our fans. It's like, motherfucker, if you want to finish, if you want to learn more, like, we got seasons 1 through 5. You go to the theater, mm-hmm, and go spend your hard earned coin.
I will be back in the fall.
Right.
I will say
a couple more months.
They did get it out on video before the new season started.
Did they?
Because the new season didn't start until like November, because Fox always starts their shit after the World Series.
Okay.
And
that was a,
because I remember
night,
my dad never wanted to go to the movies because he was a smoker.
Mm.
And he was like, I'm not going to see this. But he did get to watch it before. Yeah.
I see, the blockbuster night. Like, that, mm-hmm, was, mm-hmm, that's, and I'm sure, oh man, the fucking craziness in those stores must have.
Oh, yeah.
They did not have enough copies.
What blows my mind is they had to film it mostly before season 5.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So they filmed it during the break between 4 and 5.
Wow.
And had to keep straight, like, this is going to refer to things that you that not only haven't happened yet, that you haven't filmed yet.
Right.
So trust us, this will add up when you film another season of this TV show. And I guess in season 5, there's a lot of solo adventures, mm-hmm, and that's because the other one was doing reshoots and additional photography for the movie.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, when they needed Mulder, they wrote a Scully is Alone for a While,
yeah,
episode. This was really, really peak time. And to your point, I think this is why it would work. X-Files episodes were getting 20, 25 million viewers at the time.
Mm.
So they knew there was enough people who were truly following along.
Yeah, like, in real time. Yeah. It's not...
Both a score album and a soundtrack album. The X-Files, the album.
Ooh, who's on the soundtrack?
Welcome to the 1990s. Filter, Tonic,
yes!
Foo Fighters, Ween, Sting doing a remix, Cardigans, Better Than Ezra, The Cure, Bjork, Soul Coughing, X, mainly for the name.
I remember the Soul Coughing song being really good.
Sarah McLachlan, Noel Gallagher, Dust Brothers.
Sarah McLachlan.
Very few of those are in, like, I think the Noel Gallagher song and the Foo Fighters song play over the credits.
Okay.
I don't remember any other music.
Yeah.
In the film.
Know.
That album did all right. That album hit 26 on the albums chart.
Yeah, we owned it.
Which is much better than the better remembered Songs in the Key of X, music from and inspired by the X-Files.
Oh, we definitely had that.
Which came out in 1996. And that one was a little bit more intense. That had a lot of those bands. It had Nick Cave's Red Right Hand for some reason.
Of course it did.
I mean, everybody just, everybody was using the amount of money that the man must have given.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Someone send me copies of those CDs. I will listen to them today. Chris Carter's desire was to end the series and transition to just making a film every couple of years.
Ooh.
Fox wanted money.
Right.
So that
yeah.
didn't happen.
Obviously like, not.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, that was a terrible idea, buddy.
Because, you know, movies hit and don't hit for different reasons.
Right.
Yeah. Bad move. Glad it didn't happen. Very, very briefly. Yes, Chris Carter hated the movie Independence Day. Could you tell?
Yeah.
I love the movie Independence
Me
Day.
Too.
But there's something really funny about Mulder peeing on an Independence Day poster.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's, that worked. Also, yes, those were real bees.
Oh,
more than 3,000 actual bees.
Holy shit.
Did
so
they have a claw, get stung claws?
Yeah.
Did you say that on the show? Or on this show or just at my show?
I think I may have just said it at your show.
Because this is Candyman facts.
Apparently, you know, those were real bees that Tony Todd experienced coming out of his mouth.
In his mouth.
Yeah.
And, he had like a wax mouth over his actual mouth.
Yeah. Don't like it.
Yeah.
But he had in his a clause in his contract saying that if he gets paid extra money for every sting that he got.
He got $1,000 per sting.
That's what it was, yeah.
And I believe he collected
$26,000.
Yeah. No!
And Virginia Madsen was allergic.
Jesus,
so,
Pete!
Oh, yeah, she was allergic. So they had to have, like, the handlers, like, spray them with the thing that makes them, like, basically comatose but still moving around a little bit anytime she was on set.
Okay. Oh, man.
I don't know how
Seriously,
often.
That bee was in Scully's jacket
for like a day and a half.
She went through airport security. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's pre 9/11, but like she
on the plane.
On a plane, on a car.
In the
right?
cab.
Come on.
He like nuzzled in real good. He was asleep.
Yeah.
It was all dark and warm.
Yeah. I also love Dr. Scully narrating her own anaphylaxis.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I love it.
I'm losing.
I love it.
It's like I'm losing simple motor skills. It's like, all right, girl.
Did we ever establish how she managed to get a medical degree, like, at age 19?
She's supposed to be older than she really is.
But no one believes that for a second.
When I was a child, I thought she was a full adult. The same way I thought Laura Dern was a full adult.
Well, how old is she supposed to be?
I think Scully is supposed to be 30.
Yeah.
But Gillian Anderson
was like 23.
Born in 1968, so she's early 20s.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's only 57 now and looks fantastic.
God, she looks so good.
By the way. Finally, they specifically did cornfield and helicopters because they wanted to nod to North by Northwest. What's wild about that is that Martin Landau is in both those movies.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell he was or how he got here or how he had information or what the fuck he had to do with anything, but he was good.
No, I enjoyed it.
That's what you go to Martin Landau for. Yeah. It's like he just has the gravitas that you're just like, I accept you. Of like, course you know everything.
Right. If he were to show up at your doorstep today and just be like, this is what your life is. You're like, yes, Martin Landau.
Yes. I'd be like, I thought you died.
It's hilarious and yet very appropriate for the series that they said, go hire some big actors to spruce it up since this is the movie. And they went, great, we need Martin Landau and Blythe Danner. Do you?
Academy Award winner Martin Landau.
The year is 1998.
Right. I was kind of surprised to see Blythe.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like I thought, and at first I was like, well, maybe I don't understand her trajectory of her artistic career, of her acting career. And maybe this was just because it seemed like a bit part. Like she didn't need to be there in that space.
I wonder if she likes the show.
Maybe.
No, I saw somewhere that she knew it was a big deal. She admired it. But she was surprised when they called her because she didn't think she was cool enough to be in the X-Files.
Bless. It was also nice to see dude from Walking Dead.
Which one?
Dale, the guy who gets who gets thrown to the wolves by his team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, whoa. Like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, guys. And he could have made it. They're just like, nope.
That was rough.
That was awful.
When they start shoveling the dirt on top of it.
Mm-hmm. I was flabbergasted. Yeah. Like, not even just closing the back. No, we're shoveling the dirt too.
Yeah.
Bye, dude. We see Terry O'Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also very nice. And there was somebody else, but maybe Martin. Maybe it was Walter Matthau. Or not Walter Matthau. Martin Landau.
Those names are not the same, but they feel the same.
And those actors are not the same, but they feel the same.
It's, man, they were using the budget, weren't they?
Yes.
Like my first reaction God. Was, yes, one of the government's many giant inverted bee silos. Of course. That's, of course, where we are. Where else would we be? It's really obvious in the trailer.
So, what do you do?
I'm the key figure in an ongoing government charade. The plot to conceal the truth about the existence of extraterrestrials.
Well, I would say that about does it, Spooky.
These men have been secretly negotiating a planned Armageddon.
And you have conclusive evidence of this?
Yes.
Oh! I'm already way past the point of common sense here.
You can't quit now, Scully. I need you on this.
You've seen more than you should know.
Then you must take away what he holds most valuable.
On June 19th.
The impossible scenario that we never planned for? Well, we better come up with a plan.
Take your greatest fear.
These people don't make mistakes.
Your most paranoid suspicion.
We have no context for what killed those men.
And your darkest nightmare. And multiply it by X.
Mulder! There's no time!
Oh, my
accomplish for Little Green Man.
Trust no one, Mr. Mulder.
Because the trailer is purely just, you know, the X-Files? What if they had money to burn?
It truly is that. And it's honestly, it's probably not going to play that well on in audio, but it's so like...
It's exciting.
It is. It really makes you want to watch the movie. I just called it the episode. But like, we talked about this in one of our Star Trek episodes that like... I think that when you're making a movie from a TV show, you just want it to feel like a really good episode of the show.
Right. And they even, I love that they even put the almost kiss in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Because that's how you get, you get butts in seats.
Now that I remember that, I can hear the people screaming. I didn't, until we started talking about this, I didn't realize this was a movie trip that was burned in my brain. But we're talking about the summer between 7th and 8th grade. So I have made some nerd friends.
Nice.
And... I remember like making plans to go, his dad going early in the day to buy the tickets. No, you know, before advance. But if you went at 1 o'clock, you could say, give me 6 for the 7 PM. Mm. It was the first time I ever saw them. You remember the short era where they were bringing around the snack cart?
We didn't have a snack cart era.
Oh no, they would load a cart up with like medium Pepsis and large popcorns and be like, anybody, $7, and whatever it was. It wasn't $7 at the time. But yeah, they're walking this cart down the aisle.
Oh, that's awesome.
And again, consider the age demographic and sexual experience of most of that room. What's burned into my head from this movie more than anything is Scully turning and yelling at the security guards to do their job, because the way that room activated, like you just heard people going,
all right, don't think, pick up that phone and make it happen. Yeah. That's my new vocal stim. Like,
in my mind, she swore in that sentence because it felt so forceful that I like retcon swear words into it.
I was surprised this movie didn't have a big they get to say fuck moment.
Yeah.
Mulder says dick once.
I thought they would throw in their one F.
Yeah.
They didn't? They never did?
No. Huh.
They probably wanted, you know, this to be able to play on TV whenever they wanted it with no editing. Yeah. Which, by the way, it was set to make its television debut on Fox September 15th, 2001.
Mm.
So that did not happen.
No.
So back to the fact of how this is a nice thing for those who are not fully entrenched in the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Mulder's drunken soliloquy.
Mm-hmm.
Mwah. For exposition, just beautiful. Like, that's all you really need to know, like, coming into this.
It's
just like, he just gives it all and tells you all right there. Which also, do we ever find out about his sister? Like, what happened?
And, you know, when I, like, texted, I was like, actually, take those episodes off. That is one of the times you find out what happened to his sister.
Okay.
Because it's like, there's multiple answers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. I only watched those two episodes. I watched Darkness Falls, which is not one of my personal favorites, but I saw it on some lists.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's very Twin Peaks coded because they're in the Pacific Northwest in the woods. And Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, which is perfect.
It's just such a good episode of television.
Peter Boyle is so good.
It's just, honestly, it is the episode. It's not my favorite episode of The X-Files, but it's the one that is the most good.
Put that one in the time capsule.
Yes, right. Exactly.
You spent a whole day, so.
Oh, I didn't watch Clyde Buckman's Final Repose because I started getting to the point of I need to actually watch the mythology episodes to know what's going on. So where I left off, his sister had been raised by Cigarette Smoking Man.
What?
I know.
Mm.
What?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Exactly.
That's wild.
I would start from the beginning right now, and I probably would try to actually get through. But anyone who's listening along and considering this, just know that what you're never going to get is satisfaction.
Yes.
You're going to get so much great content, but it's never going to be tied up in a neat little package.
I mean, how could it? How can it be, really? But also, hantavirus? Really,
okay.
Tony? Really?
Seriously, I didn't put that in my recap, so thank you for bringing it up. I cannot believe that we watched a movie that the hantavirus is a major plot point.
I picked up The Stand for the first time in January of 2020, so these things happen.
Oh my God.
It's just flagging my two favorite character moments in the movie. We should move on because, like I said, we could do this all day. Even Mulder, the most analytical and open thinker and careful considerer of every angle among us, does the same dumb little dance when the soda machine doesn't work. Just, doesn't matter. I'm going to shake the thing. I'm going to go. Love that. And I have never seen someone put their whole neck into an eye roll the way that Scully does when he's like, the virus might be extraterrestrial. Jesus, I came to Texas.
So, which that reminds me. So, is this the first time that she actually sees with her own eyeballs and experiences an alien?
No.
No. Actually, it happens to her every three episodes. Yeah.
But she manages to explain it away, science it away in her own mind.
She has a really healthy skepticism and is aware that eyewitness evidence is often faulty.
Yeah.
Even when it's your own.
Okay.
I guess.
Because my question was going to be, how does this affect the rest of the series? If she's, because now she's, I got it. And
by like the third episode of the show, she's seen like conclusive proof of the existence of aliens and is still like, well, I don't know.
I think she knows what her job is there. Like, I think that she knows that Mulder is always going to go, that Coke can means there's an alien. Mm-hmm. And she has to go like, let's just go through the process.
Except for every season there's that Coke can is there because of Jesus, and Mulder going, Scully, there has to be another explanation.
Right, right. They flip on that. And your letterbox list is just called Generation X-Files, UFO and Alien Abduction or Invasion Movies from 1989 to 1999. Mm. If this is specifically your alien period, here are all of the movies.
Interesting.
It is hard to rate because it's part of, it doesn't stand alone as much as it might. But I have a good time watching it, so I don't know. It's that core memories bump it up to 75.
I'm going to give it a 79.
73.
Yeah, we're aligned. We've been agreeing too much recently. We got to hit Tony. I request one that one of us likes way more than the other. 75 and 2/3 to the bingo card and away from the bingo card.
If you were listening last time, you know that the bingo card got really specific last time, and none of these folks are in this movie unless we want to count Walter Matthau for Martin Landau.
We're gonna keep adding if someone on the board reminds you of someone who's in the movie, that means it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Who would like to begin?
I just have the one.
What's that?
Apex.
What's
the new Charlize movie?
Uh-huh.
I haven't watched it yet because I'm saving it to watch with Regina.
Okay,
but what'd you think?
Taron Egerton, whatever. Mwah. Just per usual, like, he's a sociopath. I love it.
Okay,
he's there. The song that everybody is, like, it's all over social media and everybody's doing this whole thing about it, but like what struck me about this, that scene in the song, I was like, is that Q-Tip? Sure enough, it was Q-Tip singing on the track with, or rapping on the track with Chemical Brothers. So this movie, my first thought was that, because she's like a mountain climber or whatever, my first thought was like, you know, I'm really glad I do not possess the spirit of wanting to do dumb shit. Because that is just not me. You always end up in some bullshit. And but the movie, it goes from like exciting to creepy to a point of just full on disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my heart rate was going really like a lot at the time, and I was like feeling it in my chest. So it gets really good, but like the last 10 minutes we could have done without. Like, there was a certain point that they could have stopped.
It's almost always true.
Yeah, like, we just went out a little bit too long. But it's totally worth the view.
Charlize kind of is, there might be counterexamples, but she's kind of the Netflix whisperer between that and the one.
The Old Guards.
Yeah.
Like, the Old Guard 2 was terrible.
I haven't really seen that
yet. Don't. It's not worth your time.
But she has broken through the Netflix river of mediocrity a couple of times now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Anaconda.
What'd you think?
One? Yeah, the new one.
I mean, it wasn't, I wished I had laughed more, but same.
I just wanted it to have jokes in it. It's a comedy.
Yeah. Is that too much to ask? Yeah. Like, it was fine, but it was not what I was thought I was signing up for. What I was going in there. Like, Paul Rudd and Jack Black, and I'm still just kind of like.
Yeah.
I saw it on Christmas, the same day I saw Song Song Blue, and I think Song Song Blue made me laugh out loud more than freaking Anaconda.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, when he comes back to life and the pig is tied to him, yeah, and then the pig comes back to life, that's why I bought the ticket.
I didn't not laugh.
Right. No, it just wasn't like I was expecting like full on belly, like some tears in my eyes.
I felt really bad for the guy who really loved his pet snake.
Oh, yeah.
It just made me feel bad.
Yeah.
It was something. I know Does the Dog Die, this is a trigger. I just, whenever you're doing an animal died jokes, no matter how well executed.
Yeah.
I'm not.
But I thought it was funny to watch him kick Paul right out of the room. He's like, you can't be here.
No, that was good.
That got me.
There's also the part where Steve Zahn says that the chair is like he's in a bowl of soup.
Oh, when he's like all high on something? Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be in a bowl of soup.
Mortal Kombat 2. You know, it knows what it is.
Good.
All right,
good.
It is neither. It could have been too tongue-in-cheek and tried to be too. Doesn't do that. Okay. It could have been way too serious and treated itself like Lord of the Rings. Doesn't do that. We're here for fun fights and gore and just every character that you can possibly name is in the film. And great. Have a good time. Now, 2.5 stars, butt fresh.
Is this a sequel to the one that was from the 90s?
No, one came out mid-pandemic and no one noticed. Okay. Like I
remember watching it.
I think it went to Max.
I think maybe it was one of the same day Max releases.
Yeah. Okay. And it was also fine.
Yeah.
It's if you are into Mortal Kombat, go right ahead. The sets are really good.
Cool.
It looks like a Lord of the Rings set, but if it was imaginative and fun instead of trying to be realistic.
Okay.
But that has nothing on the Sheep Detectives. What a film.
God, I wish I saw the Sheep Detectives yesterday instead of Devil Wears Prada 2.
We'll get to that one in a minute. It's legitimately funny. Aww. It has Babe the Gallant Pig charm.
Aww.
And it gets serious. I'm thinking about life and death in there.
Oh, okay. God.
It really lands, but is also really charming and funny. It's like Wake Up Dead Man and Knives Out Mystery if it wanted to be kind-hearted instead of clever. If it wanted to fundamentally be a movie that made you feel good and you and your grandma and your baby could all go to together.
Aww.
The voice cast is great. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is surprisingly good.
Nice.
I'm never surprised when she's good.
I wouldn't have pegged her as an expressive voice actor.
Okay.
And she definitely was. Same with Bryan Cranston and Patrick Stewart and... everyone in the Sheep Detectives is good, and it's such a good reason to go to the movie. And the only other newish thing I saw was The Devil Wears Prada 2, but I'll let you lead.
It's just not good, man. It's just not a good movie. And it was kind of a bummer because I saw it was my birthday and I was in like a really good mood. And if I couldn't get to me then, I feel really bad for other people who saw it.
Oh,
and like,
man.
I wasn't a huge, huge fan of the first movie. Like, I like it, but it's not something that like I could quote back to you or anything like that. So maybe this was made for the diehard fans and that's why it didn't register with me, but it just, there's so little there.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I saw it a week ago and I don't think I could tell you what it's about.
Right.
There's a power struggle, probably. the cast is, you know, Meryl's good.
I thought
Meryl's
it might
good.
Be more interesting to you because it's about like, you know, print media is dying. Right. But like,
that makes it a bad time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just ate a lot of feelings.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Meryl Streep was pretty good.
Yeah, of Stanley course she's fucking Meryl
right.
Streep.
Stanley Tucci was pretty good.
I thought Anne Hathaway was good. Emily Blunt, I don't know what's going on with her. There's something happening. She isn't acting like a human recently. Like, she was terrible in the Smashing Machine also.
No one is trying harder in that movie than late game cameo.
You're right.
I don't know why we needed that.
Needed it to feel alive for 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, narratively, it had nothing to do with nothing.
No, right.
But she was giving it her all. Just nothing.
Yeah, shame.
Yeah, but also, people are too into that movie. I don't want to harsh anybody's buzz, but like, that's a good comedy. Meryl Streep got nominated for it because she's Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. And
And because of the cerulean speech.
Yeah, yeah. But as a movie, it's like, yeah, it happened.
Do
yeah.
you think of cerulean? Does cerulean make you think of The X-Files or Devil Wears Prada?
Donnie Darko.
Really?
Wait, The X-Files.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking, because I conflate the two in my mind.
Oh, okay.
The cerulean speech in The X-Files and the cellar door speech
yep, okay.
in Donnie Darko
right.
cross in my mind.
That makes sense. That actually totally makes sense. All right,
pretty
yes.
pretty much the same concept.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that me down. And I took my mom, and my mom loves being taken to a new movie, and she was like, it was good.
Oh.
That's the harshest criticism my mom ever gives.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. That means this was a bad film.
That it was a movie that she watched.
Anything else? No. I've watched Freddy versus Jason for about the 7th time. It never gets better, never gets worse.
You know who's always there for you? Freddy and Jason.
Mm-hmm. Look, they told us they were going to fight. They did. What? And Kelly Rowland was there, even if she used a slur.
Oh, dear.
Have you ever seen Freddy versus Jason?
Probably not.
Okay, late in the film, she's trying to get under Freddy's skin, and she uses a gay slur. And allegedly, maybe this is someone throwing Kelly Rowland under the bus.
Mm.
Allegedly, she riffed that and was just talking. And the director, I forget his name, but he came from Hong Kong and didn't have a great command of English. So didn't know that that word was a problem. And it just stayed in there.
Damn it.
And then everybody got in trouble.
Damn it, Kelly.
Yeah. But we're not here for Freddy versus Jason.
Not this time.
Coincidentally, we're here for extraterrestrials. Robin, would you like to explain?
Yes. So we invited our theme songstress and dear friend of the show, Addie Twigg, to come back to be a guest on an upcoming episode. And we asked her if she would like to pick her own movie, as she did for the previous episode she guested on, Alien and E.T.
Right.
And she said, no. I want you to draw a movie, but I want you to draw a movie that is about an alien.
I want you to draw me like you draw your French girls.
When you're French aliens.
So much like how we have a sub list for Halloween and for Christmas and for Black History Month, I made a sub list of movies about aliens. Now, note that, for example, I forgot to tag The X-Files.
You know.
So,
that was going to be my next question.
you added a couple wrinkles, too, just to make it a little bit more.
So what I was going to say is I did go to Eddie and say, would you like me to exclude Star Wars, Star Trek, Superman, and sequels, the S exclusion? Mm-hmm. And she said yes. Mm-hmm. So these are just other movies. So, like, it should have taken out all of the MCU, for example.
Right.
But these are other movies about aliens or that have the tropes of an aliens movie, even if they maybe don't have an alien in it.
I appreciate you doing that extra work. Yes. I was just going to make us all sit here while I rolled over and over again. No, land on Lethal Weapon. No, I got to roll again. No aliens, no aliens. So you actually made a list.
Yes. So it's on there's a tab for it.
There's even a tab for it?
Yes. It's called the Aliens List.
Look at that. You don't know how many there are, do you?
I'm trying to find out right now. I want to say 39.
Before the S's.
Yeah.
Got it. 39. Okay. Ooh, District 9. Too much to get into. Veto.
Exercising my veto, man.
Oh, thank God, Sean. I had a panic attack when I saw District 9 in the theater and like almost had to leave the movies. And I didn't want to get there.
Much better. Cocoon. That
all
feels right.
Right. And I've never seen it, and it won a fucking Oscar.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Me either. I've never seen it.
No, what? None of us have seen it?
It
I don't even really know which one it is.
1985, a bunch of old people
getting hanging out with
again.
Aliens.
Yeah. Why would any of us have seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a Ron Howard movie, huh? Look at that cast.
Except for the whole, what is it? The thing, like, the age that Wilford Brimley was when Cocoon was
made. The Brimley like, Cocoon line, mm-hmm. yeah.
Like 40 mm-hmm. or something?
I think it's like 51.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not there yet.
No, I'm pumped for that. I feel so good about spending one of my vetoes.
Yeah, yes. That was well spent.
Well spent veto.
There'll be a little extra time before you hear that episode, just the way that the schedule's synced up with Addie. We will let you go watch X-Files, and Camila is going to
bleach post, my brain.
Right. Post Robin's guide to important X-Files episodes somewhere. Okay, what song lyric comes to mind first about the X-Files?
David Duchovny, Why Won't You Love Me?
Yeah.
What's that from?
It's the song David Duchovny, Why Won't You Love Me? Something like that.
Neither the bare naked ladies singing Watching X-Files with the lights on, nor the Bloodhound Gang singing We Can Do It Doggy Style So We Can Both Watch X-Files?
No.
How about that? Speaking of songs, X-Files, the movie, came out June 17th, 1998. What was the number one song in America?
Brandy and Monica.
Ooh.
Correct.
Yes. How did you
not, have we been here before?
Yes, we have. I know they had that whole summer.
They really dominated. Someone somewhere has done a TikTok reel of Scully looking at Mulder, "To the Boy Is Mine." And that's a beautiful thing.
What I have on my agenda for today is to watch a supercut of Mulder, It's Me.
You want to cut that in here?
Yeah.
Mulder, it's me.
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 Number